G'day punters, welcome to The Money Men. My name's Julian Valance, joined as always by Ben and Clifton from the Sports Bet Trading Floor. Obviously been a very relaxing week for you, Benny. You've come in shoeless.
Well, yeah, it was actually a tough Flemington Carnival, so I had to sell my shoes to the bloke on the corner. But no, the weather's nice in Melbourne at the moment, and so I just found it hard to put the shoes on today, so I went with the thongs.
Fair enough. Thanks to Vince Arcardi for sending in the times from Sandown. We were at Sandown for the first time probably in around 6 or 7 weeks. Now, how did you think the track played, Benny?
I thought the track was fantastic. It was actually good to get away from Flemington for a meeting because they obviously had 4 meetings in 7 days there, and you sort of had – there were patterns there. You had to find lanes in the straight races. You had to find horses that were going to get to the middle or to the outside. Sandown race, you could win from anywhere. I thought it raced great. We're on a fresh track which hadn't been raced on for a few months, and obviously it raced with a little bit of sting out compared to what the track rating was given on the day.
Yeah, I think that's really important. So we can get up the track information, I think. So track went out as a good 4, obviously got the true position. Now it was actually upgraded after race 3 to a good 3. Now from the times we get from Vince, we put it into our database, Benny. It's raced as, in the old, it comes up as our database, as a dead. So the old, for those punters that remember what the dead was in the ratings, it's more or less a genuine good 4, like plenty of give in the track. It gave every horse every possible chance. I thought it raced sensationally, as you mentioned. But, yeah, there was a bit of juice in the track, especially early. It dried out as the day went on. But still, we were racing, even on race 9 and 10 on our stuff, in that old dead range.
It's probably between good 4, soft 5, is that
right? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So beautiful, well done to the Sandown team there. Let's crack on to race 1. It was the 2-year-old race, 1/3 of a second outside standard time. Now, I think that's probably factoring a few factors in terms of there was still plenty of juice in this track, especially early. 23-1-4, 11-7-4, last 400, last 200, very, very good. Well, I think this is a race you can follow with a bit of confidence because Forbes went past them like they were stuck to the ground. And then when he got to the front, and I think I just want to mention this, probably hard to see on the TV, I was actually out at the track for RDC and at the 250-metre mark is probably where I was. And when Forbes went past them, as soon as it went past them and found 1 or 2 lengths because Jai gave him 1 or 2 behind his backside, he got to the front and then just more or less said, hey, I've done my job. And just more or less, it felt like when watching it live that he actually pulled up and thought he'd done his job. It was very weird to see. You don't see it too often with racehorses, but he was on debut and he gets beaten by Animo.
And he's going to learn a lot from that. And you saw Animo who had that race experience. Not a lot went right on debut, but it just savaged the line late. This is a race to follow for mine. I think Forbes jumped out really well. I'm not huge on jump outs, but it showed that it had ability. It went to the same – the camp went to this race last year with a horse called Hanseatic, who was their number one seed in the Blue Diamond, ended up running second. I think they'll go that way with this horse. I would be surprised if we don't see this on Blue Diamond Day in the top 5 in betting. I think he's a genuine horse, Forbes. He'll be much better for that run, and, I think he's destined for the top for mine.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, not only did Hanseatic run second in the Blue Diamond, he went around a short price favourite, I think 240, 250. So if he comes anything like Hanseatic, he's going to be a major player in the Blue Diamond. Just on Animo, we identified him, obviously, off his debut run as a black booker on this show whenever it was. He didn't have much luck. He was pretty good. Just in terms of the market perspective, the scratching of Brazen Bow, who was originally the favourite we put up Wednesday night and really got soft in the market, ended up about $3.50 plus, closer to $4 when they were about to jump. That horse did get very soft. So we'll see him again. Obviously, he played up behind the gate. So look out for Brazen Bow off that really big win in a trial.
Yeah, I think we saw enough in the betting, though, to suggest that he's not going to be a complete moral if he's in a similar grade next for his debut.
Yeah, absolutely. Good point. And with a really hard market on Forbes as well, which is a positive sign for a horse, obviously, going forward. So they'll, as you said, they'll go out, they'll come back, and they'll be looking towards a diamond for both the winner and the second place getter, and I think they'll be mighty competitive wherever they go. Race 2, this was a pretty good tempo here. 1/4 of a second inside standard time, Benny. 23-4-0, 12-0-8 home, last 400, last 200, which is only average. But it was a very good tempo. And Hindarm, I think there's a bit in this. It always looked the winner at the 400 metres. Star of Uma, who runs third, had to do a bit of work early to make it a genuine clip. And then La Mexicana, Hindarm gets over the top of it. Stackhouse now 4 rides, 3 wins and a second. Obviously gets on really well with the horse, but put the writing on the wall probably at Bendigo the start prior, didn't it?
Yeah, this is a good filly. You see with these 3-year-olds, they've avoided the really top-notch races with this horse, and it can really benefit them going forward. I think she will come back and be – she can go into those bigger group ones now and be competitive. What I liked about the win was obviously the tempo was set up for her, but She was a long way back, no card into the race. She had to make the run herself the whole way and held the run to the line. That was a really good effort. I thought the second horse, La Mexicana, was probably as good a run. Outside the lead, on a good tempo, still kicking at the end. Those two fillies are both very talented for mine.
From a market perspective, Ripperita, 18 into 13, finishes 6th. Star of Uma, $7.50 into $5. Good support off those Adelaide wins where it was busting the clock, half a second inside standard time. Goes forward, works hard, runs third. It's got a future, absolutely. La Mexicana got soft, $2.50 out to $2.70 out to $3.10. Runs second, but was still very good. And Hindam, $6.50 into $5. Punting tip out there for the punters out there is, we speak about this a lot, that the clock doesn't lie and you always got to trust it, but sometimes you got to look deeper than the clock. And the reason being, last start, Hindam off 39 days, went to Bendigo, 24-2, 12-4-6, last 400, last 200 in a really slowly run race. So the times were just terrible. What you got to look deeper into, it was off 39 days and now it was off 2.5 weeks into this, so it was much fitter. And also the fact, through the line, this horse only really got out at the 200 metres at Bendigo, so couldn't be afforded to run great time, especially last 400. And through the line was 3-4 lengths. We spoke about it on Insider Trading, 3-4 lengths ahead of the second placed horse. It was just a great profile for this race.
They've found the key to this horse. And I will say, Hayes Davidy really found some form in the last few weeks. And credit to him, because they weren't going all that well before then. I just want to mention Highly Discreet. They went to 1,400 metres with this horse. I think it's a 1,000, 1,100 metre horse. Get back off a quick tempo, come over the top.
It's a good shout. So maybe they put that out for the autumn. And I think it'll be better in the autumn as well, that horse. I think it's got plenty of learning to do. Race 3. Equal to standard time here, only just an even tempo, a little bit of probably moderate, 22.68, 11.68, last 400, last 200. So they've zipped home compared to the rest of the day. Probably a little bit of a surprise, I thought, coming out that Streets of Avalon decided to take a sit behind Camel Passer. And when Camel Passer got this soft lead, again, we spoke about it on Insider Trading, if you get the race shape right and Camel Passer was going to be in front of your Blaze Jowski's in order of command, he'd be mighty hard to beat. Forget about him being a Flemington horse. He's just a good horse.
Yeah, and he's run 3 career peaks. You know, his top 3 career ratings have been the last 3 starts with Craig Williams on board. So I think getting that absolute top-notch jockey on board has got a little another length out of this horse. He's a consistent Group 3, Group 2 horse now. And I think his main failures have been 1,100, 1,000 metres these days. I think he enjoys the tempo of the 1,200 metre, 1,300 metre races, where just a little bit softer tempo compared to those races. And he's so honest. So it's set up really well for him, that race. It's not a race I want to follow overall. I think a lot of these are probably at the end of their campaign. I'm not sure where they're going to go, but it was lacking a bit of depth, this race, for mine.
Well, probably one horse that will be continuing to go through is Blaze Jowski, and I want to mention him. He was $4.16 to $4.20, and I think a lot of people are forgiving this horse because he was 3 wide the trip, but they didn't go genuinely that hard. I thought he was more than disappointing, to be honest. So he was only 2nd up there, so he's going to be 3rd up, and I think people might want to dive into him saying, oh, he was unlucky 3rd up. He's got to improve off that. I thought he was disappointing, absolutely.
You need to be holding on better than that.
Yeah.
I reckon the trainer will be looking at that run and thinking, has he come up? And,
yep,
you know, it's a fork in the road for him. Do they go for a spell try again?
I just want to get your thoughts, and you might not know, $2.50 out to $3.60. So in terms of the market and the professionals where they wanted to play, they wanted to be around Camel Passer. They just didn't know with this horse at all. The market just got it horribly wrong. Any thoughts on why they probably did? I know the Lynn Lithgow didn't rate that well, so we had it sort of rating below average, very poor. And my thought was maybe that was the reason, but Blaze Jowski was supported. They did also back Wild Vixen and Streets of Avalon, which were the different form lines. Any other thoughts on why possibly?
Maybe a perception that its best figures were on the straight track at Flemington. That's the only thing I can think of, because other than that, it ticked a lot of boxes.
Yeah, and the other point was maybe they were thinking Streets of Avalon rolls forward and makes it a generally run race, and maybe that takes the guts out of Camel Passer. But it was a surprise that the market took such a huge set against him, but market got that one wrong. Race 4, half a second outside standard time, slowly run race here. Not many margins, 23.38, which was the best last 400 of the day, and 11.66, a very good last 200. But they deserve to get home this quick 1,000 metres for these sprinters. Shimino absolutely rocketed, 1,000 metre horse, now 5 wins from 9 goes at the 1,000 metres. We speak about it a lot, 1,000 metre horses, 1,000 metre races. Well, Shimino obviously exemplifies that again. There wasn't many margins there, as you could see through the replay, but I think it's a race you can follow with a bit of confidence, because I think there's a few horses behind them that I reckon are 2nd, 3rd, maybe 3rd, 4th up, that'll keep going through the summer, and I reckon they'll win plenty of races if they're kept in the right grade.
Yeah, for sure. And you mentioned Shimino being a 1,000-metre horse. You can understand how trainers with these get-back horses want to push him up in distance because it appears as though they're looking for the trip, but sometimes they're just better in these 1,000-metre races where the tempo is a bit harder and the leaders can come back to them a little bit. And I think they've found the key to that horse. I think Tavisan was a pass mark first up. The quality of the horse is going to drop off the next few weeks. It's second and third up run. It should be ready to win. It goes well at Moonee Valley. It does handle most of the Melbourne track. So I think it's got to win in the next few weeks.
Yeah, and I think Prophet's Thumb just needs to probably get, if he can drop maybe a wide-ish gate next start, I think it's going really well. Again, it runs fifth. So the scoreboard for it's 3-3-5 now for Prophet's Thumb. But I think it's going really well. We find a dry track for Prophet's Thumb, I think it can win. Let's get to race five here. Half a second inside standard time. And they went very quick here, I think, Benny. 23.54 and 12.18 last 400, last 200. I think it's a very, very good race going forward. And Junipel off 35 days. Well, the market didn't care him off 35 days. We spoke about it on Insider Trading that he'd won off 42 days back in last year at Moonee Valley over 1,600 metres. Especially in the last 5 minutes when the market trended towards him. He was the horse you wanted to be with if you weren't already on him. To maybe chop out if you weren't on that horse earlier and you're on something else. He was a very, very good winner.
Well, I think the pros would have realised the sting was out of this track. I don't think there's any doubt this horse goes better with a little bit of juice in the track. I think whatever way you mapped this race, they were going to go quick because Kenya last start went quick. Buffalo River only knows one way. And Juniper was the horse you were left with who was going to get that suck run. And it was the winner a long way out. And the market identified that. It did start $4 in a Group 1 last start. So it had that strong SP profile. But so did Buffalo River as well. It started favourite in a Group 1 a couple of starts ago. Started $8 last start in the Cantala. And these three horses, these first three home, are good horses. And,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, I'm not sure where they go now, this prep, but I think they could be a Group 1 winner amongst those three.
I think this is a really good point that you mentioned just there with the pros knew that they had some juice in the track. This is what the professionals do. They're always updating after race 2, after race 3, after race 4, what the actual condition of the track is. Now, a lot of the punters out there were going, well, this has been upgraded to a good 3. Well, as we did know through our database and through the professionals knowing that this was probably a dead 5, you know, there was plenty of juice in it, and that's why they absolutely hammered Junipel. Obviously, he was going well and he's a good racehorse, but market identified him just with the fact that they can update their information and they're not just relying on what it says in the stewards report because it sometimes can be misleading. Black Booker here, he runs second. He was a big drifter, $2.45 out to $3.20, but Kenya is going to be a serious racehorse in the autumn. He absolutely melted in the yard. Now, I was listening to Jane Ivel, and she was saying that that's usually, you know, a little bit common with Galileos, that they can absolutely get a little bit fizzy in the yard. But he went quick and he held on. And what I loved is when Junipel went to him, he's a racehorse. He pinned his ears back and he really wanted to continue to fight the line. So wherever he goes, they might go to the paddock now, I don't know. I'd love to see him on the quick 7-day back up to the Ballarat Cup. I think he'd be in a living certainty on the minimum there with 54 kilos there. Unlikely to go there. He can win an Australia Cup in the autumn. That's how good this horse, I think, will be.
And he races a bit fizzy. You said he was fizzy in the yard. He races a bit hard. He wanted to start doing things a little bit easier on himself so he can finish the race off a bit better.
Absolutely. We'll be back after the break to dissect the last 5 races, including the Zipping Classic from Sandy. Welcome back to The Money Men. We are dissecting Sandown from Zipping Classic Day. Plenty of juice in this track. Obviously, a genuine good 4, even bordering on a soft 5, obviously a dead sort of condition, but raced beautifully. All right, race 6, Sandown Guineas here. Equal to standard time, only an even tempo. They didn't break any records. 23.34 last 400, 11.88 last 200. So overall, compared to the rest of the day, last 400, 200, pretty good. Scratching of Asar, though, obviously took a lot out of the market and obviously took a lot out of the actual race going forward in terms of its rating in terms of the pattern. And a horse fought back on the inside there called Alibor. Blinker's first time on the quick 7-day backup. Got beaten out of sight by a horse called Shelby Cobra, which we identified last week as a horse for the future in the autumn. Well, it's now a Group 2 winner, Benny.
Yeah, I think you mentioned Asar being scratched. I think it would have won the race. It's pretty safe to say this race hasn't rated all that well. Fair play to the winner, winning a Group 2 race, but they've skipped a few grades here. The handicapper rating will go right up. They can't go back in class now, so it is exposed. It'll have to go to another level next campaign, and I can't see these horses you know, reaching that level. I think overall it's a disappointing Sandown Guineas addition for mine.
It's a good point because we want to just do this in terms of going forward and give the punters some clarity of where this race rated as a whole, and it's rated fairly poorly in terms of being a Group 2 race. So these horses now theoretically have to go to an Australian Guineas level next year in the autumn. That's where they're sort of going to be headed for. And at this stage, they're going to have to find multiple, multiple lengths to be in that. Now, they're in the space that they possibly can do that. They go to the paddock and they can improve. They're very lightly raced horses. They do have that ability to be able to improve. They're going to need to do that to become major players in the Australian Guineas. So as a race overall, it did rate very poorly on our stuff. Race 7, Sandown Cup, 2-mile race here. Gone out pretty quick. Good solid tempo here, Benny. 24.54 last 400, 12.62 last 200. Worst of the day by far. We see that sometimes in staying races, but this one was poor, especially coming home late. But they did go out pretty quick. And Cariff, surprise, surprise, Jamie Carr wins on this horse. She'd had one ride previously and ran second in the Hotham 2 years ago on it. Beats Realm of Flowers, somewhat getting back to near its best form. It was a peak run for the prep for it. And third, San Huberto. I just want to go quickly through the market. Cinder Wind, $3.90 out to $4.50. Just couldn't repeat a performance in the Flemington. Runs 8th. San Huberto, 19 into 13. European horse. Couldn't get warm in the Geelong Cup. Market said it was going to improve. It did. Realm of Flowers, 18 into 14, and Cariff, 4.20 out to $4.60. But we're just going to get to you here, Benny, because you're going to identify a ride on San Huberto.
Yeah, Fred Kersley rode this horse. If we roll the tape, just at the start of the race, he sits outside the leader. They're going at a pretty decent clip here, and all he needs is a horse to come around him, and he can take a sit, and that happens with Lofty Heights coming around. He's got that sit. All he needs to do is sit in that gap, time his run to perfection, takes off at the 800-metre mark, off a quick tempo, no less. And I just think he exposed the horse way too early. He was travelling beautifully. And if you look at Cariff in behind him, he's been more patient with his run. San Huberto hits the lead, tires late, but he's still kicking back there. I think he didn't time the run here. If he holds it back in behind those two leaders, holds to the 400-metre mark, I think he might be the winner. I think Fred Kersley got it wrong. I think he is getting a lot of opportunities at the moment from Matt Cumani. He needs to start making the most of them because there's a lot of jockeys his age who aren't getting these opportunities, and I just think he erred there when he could have won another good race here. And, I think be a bit more patient. He times his run to perfection like Cariff did. I think he stuffed it up there. And he's a jockey who he's it's make or break time for him. He needs to make the most of these opportunities.
Yeah, and it's a good point. I mean, what I will say to sort of counter-argument that is we don't know what the best asset of this horse is. Now, maybe it's a grinding horse and Matt was telling Fred, hey, you got to get going on this horse because he doesn't have a great late split. And I know your counter-argument that will be, well, they were going quick enough anyway and he was going to roll into the race. But maybe he needed to get going to get this horse who couldn't get warm in a Geelong Cup. He's ran huge. The horse has gone amazing. Be interesting to see where they go now, whether they keep him up and try and knock off maybe a Pakenham Cup or something like that, or they just go straight to the paddock. But a race like the Sydney Cup sets up for him. But I take your point that from a punting perspective, you were probably disappointed with the
point. Yeah, and I didn't back the horse. I just thought it was his race. If he had ridden it a little bit differently, he could have won, and it's a missed opportunity. I take your point. If it's a slow tempo, you can ride the race that way. It wasn't a slow tempo, and he got it wrong there.
Talking about a slow tempo, the Zipping Classic, mile and a half here, 5 seconds outside standard time. Yeah, that is outrageous to begin with. Just such a slowly run race. 22.58 last 400, 11.56 last 200. Well, the last 200 was the best of the day. So it should have been. I don't care if it's a mile and a half or 1,000. You're going that slow. You're entitled to zip home. And Sound wins the race, but the person on top wins the race, Jamie Carr. This is nothing short of an outstanding ride. Now, maybe she got off and spoke to Jason Richardson after the race and said, oh, well, I was sitting outside Ollie probably 3 or 4 pairs back, and Ollie said, hey, get going here. So maybe he needs to take half the credit. But she's just absolutely a fantastic rider. We're not saying anything different that we haven't said for the last 6 weeks. We put her in the treasure just about every week, and she'll be in there again. Great ride, but horse has done a great job too this prep.
Should she be taking advice from Ollie the way he's riding at the moment? I don't know. But it was a race that was set up there for a jockey to take a little bit of initiative. She took off a slow tempo. Compare it to Freddie Kersley in the previous race. He took off a quick tempo. I think she just timed the run to perfection. The horse is going fantastic. It is a Group 3, Group 2 sort of stayer. Had a great campaign. But these horses, they're a level or two below the absolute best stays.
Yeah, it's interesting. Lord Belvedere, rock solid at $6. Synthetic hoof filler went on first time. Market won't ever take a set against that, so that's fine. Future score, $4.80 to $6.50. I thought this was a sensational effort. Again, I want to see this horse next prep. I think this is going to be a serious racehorse. I think they might need to tinker around with a couple of things with this horse. But if they do, he's going to be a really good stayer of the future. Brimham Rock, 7-5. He always gets supported, runs second. And Avilius, $3.50 into $3.10 off the Melbourne Cup. We spoke about it on Insider Trading. It's okay record coming from a Melbourne Cup to a Zipping Classic. Well, this horse was just flat. Got beaten 20 lengths in the Melbourne Cup and obviously was not much good on Saturday.
And probably needs more of the sting out, I think, and maybe a quicker tempo.
Yeah. Race 9, the Eclipse Stakes here. Now, a quarter of a second outside standard time, just an even tempo. 23.68, 12.2 home, last 400, last 200. I'm worried about this race going forward. Not many margins here. Well done to Sosie Bond and Connections and Power Scheme. I will say Power Scheme, $8.50 out to $15, just gets beaten the lip. Sosie Bond, $8.50 out to $10, wins the race. Holmesman, $4 out to $6.50, runs third. The market had no idea what to do with this race. They really struggled, but the horses they identified, Pacadali, $15 into $10. Papalino, $16 into $10. He'll be a nice horse in the autumn, the European stayer. And West Wind, $6.50 into $3.80. They got this wrong, the market. And Sosie Bond wins.
Yeah, this is a rubbish race. And you mentioned Papalino. That was probably the horse to follow out of the race, but we talk about it every week. Do you want to follow a horse out of these races that don't rate well? I don't know. I think it was just the run of the race in a bad race.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Let's get to the last race. I think this is a good race you can follow with confidence if they continue to go around again. A third of a second inside standard time. Pretty good clip. 22.9 to 11.68 last 400, last 200, which was very good. Tricky Gal, who probably was peak run last up behind Savatiano on a soft track. So again, was suited by the dead conditions, we think. And Missile Mantra had a few runs this prep, been unlucky. $3.80 into $3.30. Then got soft really late, back out to $4, wins the race. I think it's definitely a race you can follow with confidence. There's a horse that runs eighth called Has to Be Good. It's only rated 70 on the domestic handicap ratings, comes across from New Zealand. It did a bit of work. Wherever it goes next start, I want to be with it, because I think if they find a 78 or an 84, it will absolutely panel them.
Yeah, and there was good margins of third. I think they found the right race with Missile Mantra, but she's a low percentage play. You couldn't back her consistently through a campaign. You've got to pick the marks with her and find the right race.
Absolutely. We'll be back after the break. Trash and Treasure. Welcome back to The Money Man, Trash and Treasure. What's going on the nature strip, Benny?
Yeah, we talked about it. Fred Kersley, I think he's getting a lot of opportunities at the moment. He's got to start making them count.
Yeah, the Eclipse Stakes for me, I think it's a race that is just going to be worry. I think the market's going to take a set against it. There's some, you know, quality talking horses coming out of it, but I think you might be able to take a set against it going forward.
And in the Treasure, Hayes Dabernig, who I've been their biggest critic, but if you have a look at their stats in October, they went at 8%. In November, going at 21%. They've timed the preparation of their horses to perfection to peak during the spring carnival.
Yeah, Jamie Carr, we've just been speaking about her probably for the last 3 months, to be honest. Her ability to just sum up races, and whether Ollie gave her the heads up or not, doesn't matter. She still was very, very good with her hands. Great seat. She'll be winning the Melbourne Jockey Premiership.
She's been there a few times. And the last one, Forbes. I just don't want punters to drop off this horse. I think it was a good enough run first up. This is a horse who I think will be competitive in the Blue Diamond come the autumn.
Absolutely. Okay, very good there. We'll be back next week. It's Ballarat Cup Day. Sports Bet's own.